all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, November 3rd. What, 5 days to go now until Election Day. Coming up this hour, Joe Zepecki on the final Marquette poll, which came out yesterday afternoon. It's not exactly breaking news to say that Wisconsin races are close statewide. We'll also have Nicole Slavin from Moms for Mandela talking about a group of women and their allies spurred into action by the Dobbs decision that stripped away some of their reproductive health rights. You know, the Marquette poll, as I said, we'll talk to Joe about getting inside the numbers in a bit, but I feel like we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't state something that may be obvious to a lot of folks, but again, cannot be said enough. From a statewide perspective, the top two races in Wisconsin are neck and neck, basically 50-50 races. They're going to come down to turnout, which is a cliche, I know, but it's going to be who shows up to vote for Tony Evers or Tim Michaels or Mandela Barnes or Ron Johnson. 50-50 races. And you can be pretty well assured that when you add up all of the state legislative races, it will again be roughly 50-50 with a fair chance that Democrats will actually have more votes than Republicans when you combine all the legislative races statewide. And yet, in a 50-50 state, the big headline in down ballot races is that Republicans only need to pick up a couple of more seats to have a supermajority, to have so many seats that they can override vetoes from Governor Evers if he wins re-election. So think about that. That's essentially minority rule, where the party that gets fewer votes statewide and loses the statewide race for governor still is able to either stay and is able to set the agenda, basically pass laws over that governor's veto by overriding, because of the way the maps have been rigged, that they will control 60 plus seats in a state assembly of 99 seats, even if they get a little less than 50% of the statewide vote. So again, just keep that in mind as you might be in a district that has either a competitive race or perhaps an incumbent that you've grown tired of and are ready to do your part for the American system of checks and balances. If you want to reach the show, it's radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI. Again, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. You can ring up 715-388-7155. Aaron's in the producer chair and we'll have that. And you can follow us all day long, Up North News WI on social media, upnorthnewswi.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter right there. It was a little, thank you. Speaking of which, some of that cash that I've been raising for Up North News is going right back out through my phone. During the last commercial break, I was double checking a browser window that I'd set up last night to do some, can't believe I have to say this, Christmas shopping. Yeah, here we are, November 3rd, and it's time. But it's kind of a family tradition for us to get an early start. We've gotten worse at this tradition, but it was a very good one to start with, because our firstborn daughter came along the last week of October. And then a couple of years later, our younger daughter came along also in the last week of October. So during those years of pregnancy and then having newborns and toddlers, we found it was extremely helpful to get the Christmas shopping out of the way, as early as possible. In this case, before it's time to have a baby. And, then later on, it just seemed like a good idea to continue. So for the next several years, we were especially good about getting Christmas shopping done really early. We're getting worse at that all the time, even though I keep saying we're going to get back on track. And to be truthful, that is what I'm doing now. I've started looking around for that, started putting some things together, started pricing out a few things. And goodness knows the there are people that must know that, because I don't know about your mailbox, Aaron. My mailbox is so full of catalogs at this point, from Hammacher Schlemmer and Newskies and, you know, some Kringles out of Racine because I love sending food for Christmas gifts. So yeah, there's no shortage of options out there.
I have no idea what those first two things you said are, but I have been getting a lot of catalogs. For me, it's mostly like music equipment and stuff. Those are the websites I'm on.
Is that Christmas shopping for others or for yourself, though?
Well, you know, a little column A, mostly column B.
That makes sense. Sure. This is a good time to remind you also, tis the season, not just for holiday shopping, but for voting. And in-person early absentee voting stretches through today and tomorrow in many places. There are some communities where it can go all the way through into Saturday and Sunday, but that is entirely a decision by your local municipal elections clerk. So go to myvote.wi.gov and find out the contact info for your local clerk and find out when you can vote early. And if you haven't, and if you have time to do it today or tomorrow, or perhaps this weekend, I'd strongly recommend it because, again, things come up, plans change, weather changes, family, what have you. And better to do that than to have the regret about not voting if we find ourselves with a close election. So come on in, get the voting done, or at least have a plan for what you're going to be doing come election day. All right, coming up next, Joe Zepecki will talk to us about the Marquette poll. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Up North News, and we have Joe Zepecki about to join us. First, with this news flash, statewide races in Wisconsin are close. That's what the last Marquette poll said. But even in an evenly divided poll, there are things that we can glean from the numbers, and that's what Joe Zepecki does. One could say he has ballet-like interpretation. Nobody dances around a poll more than Joe Zepecki. Well, okay, he never put that on his business card, but you get it. You look into these numbers and you see things, O soothsayer. And in a poll that shows both of the big races within the margin of error with mere days left, what did you see?
Yeah, so a couple things jumped out to me. One of the most positive ones is that compared to the last Marquette poll, just a couple of weeks ago, Democratic enthusiasm is up. In this last poll, what we saw was a real big split that Johnson had a significant lead among likely voters. And all a likely voter means in a Marquette poll is they say they're certain to vote. But when you looked at the entirety of the electorate among registered voters, Barnes was doing much better. What we see now, what has shifted in the last couple of weeks, is that Democratic enthusiasm is up. And that is how this race has come down to a toss-up in the Senate race and a dead heat in the governor's race. A couple of other things that really jumped out at me underneath the numbers were the advantage that both Governor Evers and Lieutenant Governor Barnes have on two really important traits that can sort of be lagging indicators. You know, first you feel like somebody shares your values, first you feel that somebody cares about you, and then you ultimately decide that you're going to vote for them. So on cares about people like me, Tony Evers has an 8-point advantage. Mandela Barnes has a 3-point advantage. Even better numbers for the Democratic candidates statewide when the question becomes, which candidate cares more about people like you? 15-point advantage for Tony Evers and a 13-point advantage for Mandela Barnes. So there is reason to be optimistic in this poll. And I'm working, I've got all of my thesauruses available, trying to figure out how many times in the next few days I can say it's all going to come down to turnout.
It is. And that's all I tell people is that, the phrase I use all the time is every vote matters. And look, you don't have to be enthusiastic to vote to know that your vote matters and it counts. But I will say along those lines, the difference this time between registered voters versus likely voters, this statistic just really caught my eye. Among likely voters, 79% say they're enthused to vote. Among the ones who are not certain if they'll vote, only 11% say they're enthused about voting. And actually, Joe, I think those are the people that need to be spoken to the most, is to say, look, you're already a registered voter. So why don't you go the rest of the way here?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, there's a lot to be frustrated about in our politics. Mm-hmm. And I think some of those folks who are, you know, historic voters, they feel like it is their duty to go out and vote. And they therefore go and do that. It doesn't mean that they always love the choices that they're given. They don't always love all of the candidates. You know, there's not a Barack Obama on the ballot every time, or, you know, listen, President Trump, for all the ways we feel about him, he sparked something in people who they said, okay, this time I'm going to come out. And so I think that the struggle becomes for that segment of the electorate, those folks who are pretty likely to vote, like they probably will turn out. They may not be racing to the polls and, you know, throwing elbows to make sure they make it by 8 o'clock. And that means they're a little less excited about all of the candidates. And that's okay, because at the end of the day, what we want them understanding is that it is Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes who understand why they're so frustrated, who share their values and their frustrations and their hopes and their dreams. And listen, I'm just here to tell you that a former public school teacher and, you know, a kid who grew up very working class in Milwaukee, the son of a teacher and a third shift auto worker, they understand what's going on in the lives of everyday Wisconsinites far better than the multimillionaires like Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson on the other side of the ticket. I think that's what those sort of underneath the surface numbers that we talked about to begin with tell us. And we just need to make sure that that segment of voters, those people who are going to vote, even if they don't absolutely love these candidates, that they know who shares their values, who understands what they're going through, and who's going to have their back for the next 4 and 6 years when these, you know, public policy questions that impact people's lives come before them.
We'll get to how the respondents ranked the various issues in a second, how it really shows it. It seems like the people in the two different camps are just talking past each other. But I want to start first with not one, but it turns out two issues where there tends to be some pretty wide majority bipartisan agreement. Now, first is the Dobbs decision repealing abortion rights. That one really hasn't changed. You know, 37% support, 55% oppose repealing Roe v. Wade. There's a split there. But where they come together is, should there be an exception in the case of rape and incest? And even 73% of Republicans say that there should be an exception there. Again, not a big surprise, but I'm doing that just to set up that there's actually another issue where Republicans had majority support, and that was on paid family leave for new parents, you know, parents of newborns. 62% of Republicans favored requiring businesses to provide paid leave. Now, on all these other issues, we're going to talk about a great gulf, but that stuck out for me. Or is it kind of old news to you when you saw those numbers?
No, this makes me think about 2020 in Florida, when Donald Trump won at the same time that a $15 minimum wage referendum in that state passed. For some reason, there are a lot of voters out there who sort of disentangle the candidates that are on the ballot from the things that they believe. And, you know, our job is to make sure that voters have the information so they can make the decision about whether or not to tie those things up into each other or not. And what we know when we focus on these two issues, so first we'll start with abortion. You know, this abortion should be legal and available in cases of rape or incest. 84% of Wisconsinites agree with that statement, just 10% disagree. As you noted, even 73% of Republicans agree with that exception. The reason that matters is Tim Michaels has said that the 1849 law in Wisconsin that is currently on the books is the exact mirror of his position. He does not want there to be exceptions for rape or incest, and that law does not allow for them. Ron Johnson in the United States Senate has sponsored or co-sponsored with Senator Lindsey Graham a national ban on abortions that does not include those exemptions or exceptions. So that's why that one matters. When you talk about paid family leave, both the Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers. That is a policy that they support and would like to find a way to make law, certainly at the state level, hopefully at the federal level. It hasn't gotten done. It's been Republicans who have been opposed to it. And so that's that's information that voters ought to have. And I hope all your listeners now understand that the clear divide between the two candidates in each of those top two races.
Now let's talk about that divide between parties when they asked, are you very concerned about, and then they ask about a whole host of issues. For Republicans, their top three were accuracy of the vote, inflation, and crime. For Democratic respondents, it was abortion policy, gun violence, and public schools. And then there was, you know, some overlap after that on some issues, but I mean, you really helped us see, you know, the positives and negatives of that split in issues last time around. And I wonder what your impressions are this time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, unfortunately, partisanship is a heck of a drug. And so many people live in information bubbles these days that, you know, if you to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To somebody who lives in a conservative information bubble, everything looks like a crime problem. To those living in progressive or liberal information bubbles, everything can look like an abortion question. And so that's the challenge, is how do you find the voters in the middle, the lower information voters? And that is not to suggest there's anything wrong with that. People are living their lives. They're getting the kids to and from, you know, school and soccer practice and all of that. They don't have time to scour the New York Times or the Journal Sentinel or, you know, Up North News Wisconsin. We wish they did. We provide those services to them so that they can inform themselves and become more aware of where the candidates fall on these issues. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be people who go to the polls and it's more about vibes than it is, you know, this position or that position. And that's one of the sort of deep-seated problems that we're having in our democracy, is we have a hard time agreeing what the top issues are. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have disagreements about what facts are. Facts are facts, folks. And so know that whichever information bubble you're living in.
And by the way, for the independent respondents, again, it really, everything kind of plays to type here. For the independents, four of their top five issues, two were Republican, two were Democratic on that list. It goes inflation and then public schools and then crime and then gun violence is number five. So, yeah, you really see the split in all of these. So one final question, and it's back to Ron Johnson, because he and all of the major candidates are underwater right now in terms of favorability. Not a big surprise. People are really getting sick of this and want to move on. But Dan Schaefer is another one of those. He and I both are fascinated with this number. A couple years back, it was like 30% or more of Wisconsin voters didn't know enough about Ron Johnson after all these years to have an opinion about him, good or bad. And now, days before the election, that number has come down, but it is still 10% of respondents say they don't know enough about Ron Johnson to have a positive or negative opinion after he's been in office for 12 years. Is that, what do you make of that?
I mean, senators are not governors. They don't necessarily live in your living room or in your house in the same way. I'm pretty surprised, given the last 2.5 years or so that we've been through with the pandemic, with so many people at home, with so many people attuned to the news because it was so central to knowing how to protect our families, that there's not 100% awareness, but there is certainly more awareness. And I think that's to Senator Johnson's it's hurting him, because mm-hmm. people know what a lunatic he has sounded like on a lot of this stuff, with the vaccine disinformation, the, you know, gargle mouthwash and that'll keep you safe. He has made this harder on himself than he had to by revealing himself in especially the last couple of years.
There's a line someplace, I don't know who said it, but it's along the lines of, those who know him best like him least. And it wasn't originally said about Ron Johnson, but you see where these poll numbers go. And again, like you said, I know it's a cliche, but it is going to be about turnout, which I hope was informed by you having appeared with us this morning, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I also wanted to point out the Americans for Prosperity person that stopped by my door the other day. I mentioned they had these big oversized door cards. I thought that I had properly disposed of it, but I see it was still sitting here. And again, it really comes back to something we've mentioned a couple of times with Senator Johnson. And I mentioned to the canvasser for Americans for Prosperity when they dropped off this very slick card here. I said, I can't help but notice the bullet point here on Johnson says, Ron Johnson has a plan to bring gas and grocery prices under control. And I said in a very polite way, I said, I don't seem to remember hearing that. Can you tell me more about it? And, you know, the short answer was no, that, you know, it's just about reducing spending, government spending, which is what's been helping us avoid, you know, a depression or a very big recession. That's not going to fight inflation on its own. And again, if we had more of a plan, maybe we could compare, but we can't. We just get more division. Coming up next, Nicole Slavin from Moms for Mandela. That's up after this break. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Get in touch with the show, 715-388-7155 or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. It's no surprise that the attack on women's health rights spurred a lot of women and their allies into action around the country and here in Wisconsin. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we met several women from Door County who banded together to reach out to voters through a group called Northern Door Activism. Another group called Moms for Mandela was formed, and Nicole Slavin is among the organizers in Northeast Wisconsin who know that the act of one person voting is not enough. They need to encourage others to vote. Got to get those new voters motivated and activated. And we talked to Nicole Slavin all about Moms for Mandela. Nicole Slavin, thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Pat.
Well, thank you for joining us and telling us more about Moms for Mandela, something that has, I think, really become a force through its activity, its growth, its social media presence. And while those are all positive things, this really was born of something terrible that has been inspiring moms and women and others throughout the country. So from your point of view, how did things get started with Moms for Mandela?
Thanks for the question. Thanks for having me here today, too. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about this. So for me personally, it was a no-brainer. I was already supporting Mandela, but then learned about the Moms for Mandela organization. And obviously, yes, with the fall of Roe, with the Dobbs decision, I think women and people who can be pregnant overwhelmingly were devastated when that news happened. So I got involved right away. And what I'll say is that it was really amazing to connect with these other women who share the same beliefs, the same values, and also where it's kind of like shouting into the void of this has already happened. Like, what do we do now? We have to, you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. So it was activism, grassroots activism right from the start to get involved.
You know, there was just a new Marquette poll out that again showed how very close this race is, the governor's race. And again, it shouldn't surprise a lot of people. Wisconsin is a close state, a closely divided state, but I suppose it does put what more of a sense of urgency into what you're doing these final few days, knowing that you're telling every person that they can be the difference maker.
It's true. I think something like every county comes down to, or voting location comes down to two or three votes can make a swing difference. And one other thought about polling is that it always gets me because a lot of the moms that are working with us, with Moms for Mandela, are not political people. These aren't people that would be polled. I'll be honest, I even have a couple of moms in this local area that I don't think their husbands know that they're a part of it because they are in a situation because relatives are lean more conservative, or it's just they can't be vocal about their beliefs, but they so passionately believe in this. It is. It's vital. It's you know, all systems go right now. We need to reach anybody and everybody and make sure that people are getting out there and voting. So.
There's been such a roller coaster of feelings about how things will go this year. And I think part of it is obviously the groundswell of feelings after the Dobbs decision. And then spirits were buoyed by the vote in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And then there were five different congressional special elections, won by the Democratic candidate. But then more recent polling showed that maybe Republicans were having a resurgence in public opinion, because maybe the passions, the anger, the involvement was going to die down, and things, the timing was going to be completely off for groups like Moms for Mandela. But now, how are you feeling?
For me, I guess I don't have the option of having it sway a certain way or not. My rights have been taken away in one fell swoop. So I guess it isn't about one issue or another. You don't stop when human rights are at stake. Also, I think there's just been so much back and forth of, is it the economy? Is it this or that? Abortion rights are economical rights. It all ties together. And I think that's something that a lot of men don't realize when they're speaking about it. Women don't have that option. To us, it all ties together. So, I guess I don't have the option of looking at it any other way.
Sure. And there is, as you alluded to, more than just the issue of women's reproductive health rights. Right. Your group's Instagram presence is very powerful. It's very pervasive. And one of the slides, for example, doesn't just say Moms for Abortion Access, but it says Moms for Gun Safety, Moms right. for LGBTQ rights, Moms for Union Workers, Moms for Good, Moms for Mandela, and on it goes. Because again, while you were started because of one issue, right. a lot of folks, they don't vote on just one issue.
No. And, we send our kids to school every day and hope that they come back. Common sense gun laws is something that Mandela has been very, very vocal and supportive of. Just what the middle class is facing. Ron Johnson is so out of touch with that. He doesn't know how to do a budget. We're out here trying to figure out how do you save up to get the kid the special backpack that they want for back to school, and also pay bills, and also figure out braces, and all of that other stuff. I'm not out buying my second private jet. So I think Mandela, it's very common sense for anybody trying to navigate being a parent, a mom, who your vote needs to go for, and why we're so passionate about this.
Okay, as far as what the group does, for folks that might be listening and saying, okay, this all sounds fine, but it sounds like a lot of people grousing, and then they pretend they promise to go vote, and that's it. But there's more to it. And again, if you look at the social media posts, I mean, day by day, there's a multi-step action plan so that people feel involved. Can you talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. So yes, we have our 25 days of action going on right now, where there's literally an action item every day that will help get people to vote or teach them more about what's happening. But it goes well beyond that. We do a lot of relational organizing, which is not your typical knocking on the door, getting in everyone's face, talking about things. It's meeting people where they are. It can be as simple as open canvassing at farmers markets. We did tons of that. Wearing our Moms for Mandela t-shirts, the amount of people that would come up and chat with us and talk about why they're voting for Mandela, seeing that in their local neighborhoods, super impactful. Things like talking about it at soccer practice or daycare pickup, or meeting people where they are, tell them why you're voting, giving them a reason to care. It makes voting a lot more real. It isn't this political thing that we scroll through our phones and look at it. It's real, and it's here, and it gives people a reason to care. And I think that that's super impactful alongside the regular canvassing that you see going on.
Well, it certainly has been a common theme here, is the power of each individual conversation. Right. You don't have the luxury of tens of millions of dollars from billionaires starting a super PAC for you right. and running endless ads on TV and on the internet the way that Ron Johnson's allies do. And yet, with that near flood of political advertising on his behalf, mm-hmm. how do you feel about the power of all of these many conversations?
For me, it is nothing compares, right? So you're right. We don't have millions of dollars to pour into it, but I don't think an election should be decided on that. It should be decided on common sense and who's the best fit for people. And in those conversations I'm having with friends and family and the other moms that I know that are having that, everybody by and large agrees on the same fundamental things. We want, a safe, healthy, happy environment to raise our families. And that's what Mandela brings to the table. He is, it's common sense. He understands where we're coming from. He's lived the same life that we have. And I think that really resonates with people. And having those conversations, I wish I could put a million advertisements out there to say this, but if I can't, you darn well bet I'll be out there talking with my friends and family and coworkers.
Absolutely. We're talking to Nicole Slavin from the group Moms for Mandela about the final push for a very close U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. Coming back to the conversations and how they lead to action and the ultimate action, of course, of voting either next Tuesday or in early voting. One of the things that we can't know in Wisconsin, because we still have the benefit of same day voter registration. Republicans haven't taken that away yet. And so because that's there, it also means we don't know how many people are going to show up for the very first time to vote, how many are motivated. You're talking to a lot more people than me. What sense do you get about that?
I absolutely know there are tons more voting. It's as easy as getting your phone out and helping someone get registered right in front of you. I've done that numerous times. I also have an 18-year-old who will be voting in their first election, which is huge. And that group is really turning out as well. I truly do feel that at the end of the day, it's how many people you can talk to and connect with. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to, like I said, give everyone a reason to care. This really matters. Every single vote is going to matter. Educating about early voting, early in-person voting, making sure if you got your absentee ballot that you're returning it. And then as well as showing up on election day and registering there if need be. There's so many options. There's really no excuse not to vote.
Do you have to be prepared as well when you have these conversations and canvassing and such? Do you find, because of the flood of TV ads, that have very little to do with kitchen table issues? It's more about scaring people about crime? Or do you find out that you have to be up to speed on inflation talking points? Because again, the Republican ads are all about either, you know, crime or inflation by and large.
I'll be honest, when you are actually having one-on-one conversations, those things don't typically come up. And if they do, it's very easy to talk through them. I think that those things are very impactful on TV and can kind of fill a void out there that's not reality. But no, by and large, when you're talking in person with real people, it's things like, how am I figuring out my budget for this week? It is, you know, gun violence, and can you send your kids to school and not have to worry about that? It is, like we talked about, reproductive justice, things like that. Those are the conversations that are coming up. And most of my friends and family, even my neighbors that I've had conversations with, we're all, you know, in the same place, living in the same swim lane, so to speak, and facing the same issues. And Mandela is such an obvious choice when it comes right down to it. So when you're talking one-on-one to people, no, it's not about the big scary issues that you see in the advertisements.
So when all is said and done here and the votes are in and you have people that finally render a verdict on Ron Johnson one way or the other, and assuming that Mandela Barnes is the victor of that race, which everybody expects to be close, but once it's done, what do you think will be different about how Wisconsin is represented in the U.S. Senate?
Oh, I cannot even imagine anything better than waking up with both Tammy Baldwin and Mandela Barnes as Wisconsin's U.S. senators. How amazing is that? How big of a message does that send to, first of all, the kids, that you can grow up and anybody can be a leader? It doesn't matter who you are and where you come from, that you can do that. But more importantly, 12 years of Ron Johnson and helping himself and rich people get richer, it hasn't served us. So yeah, I would love nothing more than waking up and having Mandela Barnes be the next senator.
Nicole Slavin from the group Moms for Mandela, thank you so much for your time. It was great to visit with you.
Thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it.
Nicole also reminds us that she and other members have been urging others to use the website iwillvote.com. Again, iwillvote.com to check your registration, to find out where the polling place is near you. I've looked at it. It's a very good website. I just happen to more frequently mention myvote.wi.gov, the one that is run by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But either one of those are good resources. As well as, you know, there are others out there. I think I don't have them to hold up here, but I've received a couple of different postcards or little flyers from independent groups saying, you know, it's just very important for you to vote. And do you need more information on where to register and get an absentee ballot? And people go, well, how did they get my info? And how do I know they're on the up and up? Well, they get your info because the list of registered voters is available for sale. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, identifying information other than maybe say name and address, but it is there, and groups purchase it all the time. Political parties purchase that list, political groups and such. That's the case in most, if not every state, that list can be purchased. So anybody can send you mail. It's then up to you basically to see if you feel like it's on the up and up, because yes, there have been occasions, at least in other states, I'm not aware if this has happened in Wisconsin, but certainly in Texas, there was some funny business where people were directed to go to a particular website, but in doing so, it notified their state elections commission that they wanted to be removed from the registration rolls, which was not the case at all. So that's why, again, we're promoting the website directly from the state elections commission so that, again, you can go check that out for yourself. All right, we're going to take a break here, wrap things up, take one more look at sports and more right after this. This is Up North News Radio. Talk a bit about how Ken Jennings has rescued Jeopardy in just a moment. First, a look at sports. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 32 points and 12 rebounds, and the Milwaukee Bucks matched a franchise record with their seventh straight win to open the season, beating Detroit 116-91 last night. Milwaukee starting 7-0 to open the season matches their start from 2018-2019 and the 1971-72 series. And they will travel to the Twin Cities on Friday for a late game against the Timberwolves at 9 p.m. on Friday night at the Target Center. If you haven't yet turned in your absentee ballot, be sure not to mail it. Get it filled out. Get that witness to sign the back of it. Put the address on there correctly and fully. And then walk it back to your election clerk's office. And don't use a drop box, even if there's one there. They are illegal in Wisconsin this year, for stupid reasons we won't get into, but you need to walk it right into your clerk's office. Be sure you bring ID. And before, one more thing before I get to Ken Jennings here is, because I just saw this, and I'll probably mention it tomorrow because I really want to get the audio of this, but the Republican gubernatorial candidate in Arizona, Carrie Lake, who is favored to win at this point mysteriously, yesterday suggested rolling back high school graduation requirements for science, math, and history using the Sarah Palin-esque line, who says we have to have this many hours of science, this many of math and history? We can change that up. That's what you want to hear from a governor who's going to overlook schools. Let's get to happier news. I wanted to call your attention to a story in the Washington Post by Emily Yar about Ken Jennings, who at one point was seen as the bad guy holding Jeopardy hostage when he reeled off 74 wins in a row back in 2004, and he won about $2.5 million. He became a celebrity. Everything he says that was the alternate version of his life, which was going to be, quote, a mildly unhappy Salt Lake City computer programmer. Instead, now 48 years old, he is the semi-permanent host of Jeopardy, along with Mayim Bialik. Both of them replacing Alex Trebek, who passed away at the age of 80 after doing the show for 36 years. Executive producer Mike Richards, you might recall, gave the job to himself as host, only to be forced to step down days later after it was discovered he'd made offensive remarks about women, Jewish people, and Haiti, all on his former podcast. Podcasts are like social media, man. You just be careful if you ever think you want to run for something or give yourself a promotion in this case. So it's a very, very lovely look at what Ken Jennings' path turned out to be, from Utah to rescuing a game show that was mired in controversy after Trebek's passing. What really stuck out for me and what I wanted to share with you was about the show's appeal. In an age of misinformation, the piece writes, Jeopardy is a place where, as Jennings says, questions have answers, and correct answers and facts matter. A team of people pore over books to ensure that every detail is correct. He said, quote, I don't want to overstate what it means in the culture, but I really do think there is something to that. He says, Jeopardy viewers span the ideological spectrum And we want to make the point that facts are facts, no matter how you vote. And no matter how much math and science you take, whatever it is that Carrie Lake says you should or shouldn't have in Arizona.
I believe we are at a prime opportunity to completely re-envision how our government schools are run, because everyone's eyes are open. And who says we have to have this many hours of science, this many of math and history? We can change that up. What does it mean to have a high school diploma? It should mean that you know some of the basics and you also have some ability to go out and make a living. Our schools have our kids for 13 years from K through 12. And at the end of 13 years, we should have some competent adults going into the world. Amen. Who can make a living, because there are jobs out there.
Yep.
Well, there it is, folks. There is the poster child of quotes when you're talking about government schools, and that schools should only be designed to turn people into little worker drones. That's not what education is. That's what job training can be. That's what vocational education can be. Education is not just teaching you rote facts to memorize. It's about teaching you how to think, not what to think, but how to critically think about things and work out the answers, whether it's in science and math or something more in the humanities line. We want people to be able to carve their own path, not have a path chosen for them. But that is the attitude from people like Carrie Lake, and I'm certain Tim Michaels and others who use that term government schools and make it sound possessive. You catch how she said, you know, they have our children for 13 years. These are the same people that say parents should have more involvement. Parents should have more of a say, which, again, much like there is no evidence about fraud in 2020, but they keep saying it anyway. There's no evidence that parents don't play a role or can't play a role. All you got to do is say you want a role. All you've got to do is be involved. When my daughters are being raised, if I did not agree with something, I could go to their teachers anytime. I could send a note. I could make a call. I couldn't send email because it hadn't been invented yet. But parents have always had a role. That's what parent-teacher conferences are for. Now, if you don't agree with something that is being taught, you have two routes to go there. You can either talk to your child and say, now, I don't see it that way. Here's how I see it. Or you can go to the school board, school administrator, and say, I think that there is a flaw here. But don't be surprised when the thing that you're advocating to be changed isn't adopted. Because let's say, I don't know, it's wrong. Perhaps you want it to be taught that, you know, the Civil War was not fought over slavery, for example, when there are endless examples that show that it was, or whatever have you. That's the most obvious example right now, but there are others. And what you say to your children all the rest of the day is on you, for good or for bad. But the people who are trained to educate our children, the people who care about your children only slightly less than you should, those folks are there to do a job because of a calling that they too want to see our future generations be leaders and thinkers and doers and not drones. And that's not to say there is anything wrong with job training and vocational education. It is great to get skills. It is great to teach certain skills in certain settings. But don't for a moment confuse the two of thinking and doing. They're both important. They both deserve their own spheres. And it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game where you grow one at the expense of the other. We can teach kids good skills for work without having to dumb down whether they have this many hours of science and math. We can change that up. No thank you, Carrie Lake. No thank you, Tim Michaels. Hey, tomorrow, Mark Jacob and Carolyn Fiddler. Remember, you can follow us all day long at upnorthnewswi.com, upnorthnewswi on socials. Follow me at Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook and Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Enjoy your day. We'll see you Friday.